Hello and welcome to another recap episode of the longest public hearing in Calgary's history. Just for some information for people, this public hearing about the potential of the changing of the base residential zoning district from R1 to RCG, we've had 331 people speak so far. And we have 450 more to go. So this public hearing is probably going into next Saturday. And who knows, maybe even the week after that, we will be covering it as long as it's happening. I will say, though, I'm taking tomorrow off. I've got some choir stuff going on. And I need to sleep. I need to rest. But I'll still have a video coming up of some of the stuff that that people have been talking about. But today on the panel, I'm joined by a few fantastic people. We've got Jen Hall back with us.
Hello again.
And we've also got Hazen Elwood, too. And, of course, Catherine Davies. This is the first panel, actually, that I've had where everybody has done this once before. So I'm excited to have everybody joining me. And of course, like we've done the past few times, we're going to start off with some personal favorite speakers today. Catherine, do you want to start us off?
Sure. So one presentation that I really enjoyed was Nathan Schmidt. And just a fun fact, I've known Nathan for a really long time. And a few years ago, there was a public hearing that was also long, but not nearly as long as this, for a document called The Guidebook for Great Communities. And Nathan, we were messaging about this, and he was like, "Are you going to speak at council?" And I was like, "Oh, I've never done that before, but I guess maybe I should." And so we both ended up speaking at this very long public hearing in 2021. And I have a screenshot of a message from him that said, "Thanks so much. That was energizing. And now I want to do it all the time." And now Nathan Schmidt speaks at council all the time. But I thought he gave, as he always does, a very compelling and very compassionate presentation. And he's someone who really cares about the community, and he really cares about the city. And that really came through, I thought.
Yeah. And one thing that I really liked that Nathan said was that the worst case scenario is us making a few more friends. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a few more neighbors on your block, especially RCG. Like, we're talking about this, like, it's super, super tense. It's really, really not. And most of these RCG developments probably won't even take advantage of that maximum density potential. It's all going to vary whatever the developer decides to do based on their budget, the market, where they're putting it, etc. So yeah, it's good to see some positive stuff there. We'll come back. I know, Catherine, you had another one you wanted to mention, but first I want to hear Jen's favorite person today.
Sure, yeah, and I got to see them live in person, which is fun. It was a gentleman named Jola Adeji. And Jola is an immigrant and artist in the city. And I really appreciated having that voice. You know, there's all these different perspectives of, you know, some people have families, some people are you know, long-time Calgarians. And it's nice to see that particular lens on it. I know I am part of and have many friends in the arts community, and it's you know, for so many, it's you're not doing it for the wealth, and so it also makes it a very vulnerable community when it comes to housing. You know, how can you be an artist, of which really brightens up the city? Sort of the unsung heroes of the city are the arts community. So easy to write that off the budget and not support artists. And so, yeah, it was wonderful. And the way he spoke was so poetic. Like, it wasn't an official poem by any means, but the words he used, it was beautiful. So I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. And if somebody wants to watch that and hear what Jen's talking about, he was one of the very first speakers this morning. Jen and I were in council chambers, and this was also Jen's first time in council chambers. How did you like it compared to watching it at home?
Yeah, it was really cool feeling the energy in the room and the fellow, I guess, viewers. You can kind of hear side conversations and get a feel for how a variety of people are reacting. Being in our more neighbors Discord, you know, you get a lot of people that are on the same side. And so, you know, kind of agreeing. So it was kind of neat to hear all sides having their little sidebar conversations and seeing in a little more detail the counselors reacting or not reacting, which is pretty neat. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's one of my favorite things in council chambers is that you get to see the counselors' faces as they listen to people, and you can tell when they perk up or when they're like, "Oh, I have a question to ask that person." Mm-hmm. It's really, really interesting. Biz, what about you? Who was your favorite speaker?
There's definitely a lot of really good ones out there where people are just doing the basics and kind of just saying what needs to be said and keeping it simple. I think the best one for me is Adam Worgen, who was before just before Nathaniel Schmidt on the same panel. And he said, 1 minute speech to respect the audience's time and keep it positive. And I think that's really awesome. It's just like, it's kind of a exemplary what you got to do if you don't really want to put in, you know, all this work to get super professional about it. It's like there's definitely a very wide range of very valid perspectives that council needs to hear. And I think in almost kind of a similar poetic sort of way, there's a lot of information that you can pack into very little if you just kind of show up and very openly express, this is who I am, this is the life that I lead, and this is what I think. And in just a minute, he said so many things that it just totally, like, I live in East Village and I live in this huge condo tower and it's the best quality of life I've ever had in my entire life. Love it. Thanks for all the great work that you guys do in the city. Love administration. You guys are so professional. And it was just like, it was what they need to hear. And I think it's just kind of a nice short, very short, but very nice kind of positive note on what's usually a very rancorous and ugly and angry discussion.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's huge when we can kind of keep it simple. And that's a great insight for anybody who hasn't signed up for whatever reason. Maybe they're nervous that they'll get asked as many questions as Willem Klumpenhauer was when he presented. But if you don't show up with any graphs and you just kind of get up there and you say like, hey, just wanted to say I support this. I'm trying to participate and this is fine. And take your seat. That's really huge, actually, just showing up to council. Catherine, who was your other person here? I'm not sure I heard this person today or not, because I did, I took a little break.
Well, good for you for taking that break. I believe her name was Eunice, and she had a British accent, but she spoke so eloquently, and I believe she was a lawyer of some kind. But what really stuck out to me in her presentation, and I should go back and listen to it, is that she called out her community association for having signed the community association letter and said that it did not represent her or her views. And I'm actually surprised that we haven't heard more about that. And one thing that I think will come out of this whole episode is that I think we do need to have serious conversations about community associations, how they operate, how representative they are, and how much control they should have over development patterns in their communities.
Yeah, because they really aren't representative. I was never contacted by my community association about this issue. I was contacted by the city, which actually I have the thing here, and this might be a good time to highlight this. I did think about highlighting it on yesterday's recap episode, but there's a lot of conversation about affordable housing and people saying this won't create affordable housing. This won't create affordable housing. Nowhere on this mailer does it say that RCG will create affordable housing. The only place that it almost says it is, it says, in Calgary today, over 84,600 households cannot afford where they currently live. This number is growing. Rezoning for housing will enable a greater variety of homes and price points in all communities. That is the closest this comes to saying anything about affordability. It's mostly talking about a variety of choices and options in the city. And it even says 87% of low density residential properties only allow single or semi-detached homes. So I just wanted to make that point of clarification, since that's something that tends to come up. And a couple other people that I wanted to highlight as well are a couple young people who spoke pretty early in the day. And that's Keely, who's another student. She was talking about her frustrations having to constantly find a new place to rent every year, and spending all of her extra time trying to find a place to rent. And then Clyde, who I actually got to have a extended conversation with about what he was talking about, and he was pretty excited. It sounds like he found out about this almost in a vacuum and got involved. He's like, he told me afterwards, he says, yeah, I was just watching a bunch of urbanist content on YouTube and then found out about this and was like, hey, I think I could get involved. I could do something about this. And he showed up all on his own. He showed up. And so when I talked to him, he's like, there's other people. I'm so excited. And so that was, we had a great conversation. But a couple of things that he highlighted was the problems with car dependency, which has come up again and again and again throughout this public hearing. And it's come up as a reason to not build housing. And he talked about the issues as far as financial sustainability for the city, safety for the city citizens, and the risks that car dependency poses to the planet. So yeah, there were some really, really fantastic speakers. Now, kind of closing out these first 5 days, we wanted to have a little bit of a discussion about the variety of people coming out. Catherine, would you like to kind of give us an overview of some of the variety of people who have been coming out on both sides and maybe what some of their reasons for showing up to this public hearing have been?
Sure. So I think we've seen, there's certainly an age skew on either end. So people who are speaking up in support tend to be younger. So many young people, particularly students or people who, you know, are still living in their parents' basement, I think really see a bleak future for them and are motivated to come out and speak. Although I will say that, you know, within our More Neighbors community, we have a very broad range of demographics. And I've been actually quite surprised by the number of older people who are really keen to support younger generations and very engaged on this issue. I will say, I went through almost half of the public submissions. And the one constant in all of the opposition there was the word homeowner. So we're seeing a lot of people who are motivated to come and speak because they're worried about the value of their home or the quiet enjoyment of their home as well. And then we're also seeing an interesting component in this hearing. And so I followed the Edmonton zoning bylaw renewal, which happened last year. And it was, it was short and sweet. I think they had around 200 speakers. They got it over with in a few days, and
it's crazy to think that a few days of a public hearing is considered short and sweet.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did it faster than we're doing it. That's for sure.
Yeah. And so I was chatting with someone from Edmonton, and I was like, "Well, did you have any of these I don't even know how to describe it. How often was the World Economic Forum invoked in this conversation?" And they said, not really at all. That component was missing. And it's been interesting, to say the very least, to see that come to the forefront of this debate.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you think that is? Do you think that there's anything different? And this is kind of open to the floor here. Do you think there's anything different about, when Calgary's having this, or maybe a difference between Calgary and Edmonton, or maybe it's just the amount of people that we're getting out. Do you guys have any theories?
I think ultimately that needs to be left to smarter people than me. But there's this component of Alberta politics that has managed to work its way into the current the UCP, and it seems to have found a home in this issue in Calgary, and I'd be curious to know from other people why they think that is.
Yeah, my initial thought is it could have something to do with ours is happening after federal government money was announced. But I do think it's really, 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 really important to note that this idea came before there was any inkling of federal money coming this way. This comes from the Housing and Affordability Task Force. It's not a recommendation that we got from the federal government. This came from a municipal government task force. This was our idea. And now we're looking at implementing it. But then, yeah, I don't know. That's my own theory of how it could get wrapped up in those other ideas. But it is really interesting and concerning to see that. But then, of course, I think it's important to remember the broad spectrum of people who are coming out, because I think most people who are showing up are really just concerned about their neighborhood. I think most people who show up are very genuine, and I don't want to paint anybody in like a disingenuous light. Jen, what do you think about the people showing up, or maybe not think about them, but what have you seen about who's showing up to these meetings?
Yeah. I think a group that I find really interesting are folks that are really coming in with suggestions for, you know, they may, and I'm speaking on the people that are saying ultimately they're not comfortable with the blanket green zoning, but they're really talking about, well, there are really great places for the density, and what about near transit? What about near different locations? One that stood out to me was a woman that lives in the Chinook neighborhood, which is near Calgary's kind of feature mall, Chinook Center. And she expressed how, you know, there's a very, it sounded like she felt appropriate kind of separation of the main neighborhood she's in and the mall. Like, you cannot drive in a direct and efficient way from her neighborhood to the mall. Like, it's got a good filter to keep traffic out, which is wonderful. And she said they are requesting rezoning to be able to have, sounds like, some quite tall residential towers on the mall property, and that's a fantastic scenario for density, like really great density. Now, that's way above RCG, which is the main subject, but it's great to hear that they are thinking about solutions, right? There's the aspect of they're not feeling comfortable about density in their particular neighborhood, but they are thinking about it and can see it succeeding in different lanes, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is great to see people kind of coming up with other ideas, right? But I hope that we as a city, as an entirety, go with a yes and approach, right? We say, yes, we can build those towers, but some people want to live in townhomes, right? Some people want to, you know, or some people want to find other accommodations or organize their lot in a different way with a greater variety of housing for whatever reason that they have for that. So I like and hope that that we'll be taking a yes and approach to that, because of course towers aren't low density. We need a greater variety of low density housing, like townhomes and basement suites and backyard suites and all the things like that. What about you, Biz? What have you noticed from the people showing up so far this week?
Yeah, I think I wrote down like a 6-point, like the different sort of actors that we're seeing, kind of like two neutral, two support, two against. But I think it's definitely, there's definitely a spectrum on both sides. I think it has to do a lot with how much information do they have. Like, there's a big difference between somebody who's showing up with charts and data and somebody who's coming with mostly emotional arguments, and I think we see a lot of that on both ends. I think it's how much disinformation do they have, as in, like, do they disagree with it on more like reasonable terms? Do they disagree with it because they don't have enough information, but they don't also have any disinformation, and so they're just a little bit skeptical? Or it's like, are they coming with this sort of catastrophic sort of mindset, or even a conspiratorial mindset? But I think the two things I think I want to highlight the most is that it, like, no matter what, like, how somebody's final take on this issue or their opinion or the way they express themselves pans out, I think it's really important that we recognize that all of these people are taking time out of their days to do what they think is best for their city, and that they genuinely have a love and appreciation for at least a subjective experience of their city, if not an objective one. And that, of course, we can talk all day, and especially when we get into like demographics, like I'll use like older people, for example. For we talk about like how many of them are for, how many of them are against. I think it's like we can look at like there's like a vast moat of any demographic that's in the middle that has no idea what's going on, doesn't care, and I think that's, it's really important, as we were talking earlier about people who just showed up and have no idea who we are or have no idea that there's a movement here. I think it's, there's this very beautiful moment, I think, that we can all, everybody who's involved in this sort of thing can look back and remember that moment that they discovered that there's this whole network going on underneath the surface. There's this whole, like, urbanist, there's, like, just a cohort of people who have, like, these very deep friendships with each other, and you just, like, come into this world. And I think our main focus should definitely, more than kind of responding to people who maybe aren't interested in us, just being very proactive and staying positive and trying to reach those people and share some of that joy as broadly as we can.
Yeah, I think that's huge. With the rest of the conversation that we've got here today, I want to talk about mental health, because this has been a very long week. I booked the week off so that I could follow this and keep track and show up and be there and help support people who are showing up to speak, and probably for the first time, because it's pretty nerve-wracking speaking in front of council. Even if you like the counselors you're speaking to, it's a scary experience. And then, of course, hearing perspectives that you might disagree with, and you kind of just, you have to sit there and just listen to it. That can also take a toll on you. And I feel bad for the counselors having to sit through, I don't know how long this is going to be. It's going to be like 100 hours of people talking. Everybody gets their 5 minutes. And so it's a lot. It's really, really a lot. And I had to take a break today. I woke up this morning because I've been doing 19-hour days trying to, you know, go to this thing and talk about it and help people out, and then recording these things. And it's exhausting. But I took a little break today and had a nap, and it felt great. And tomorrow I'm taking a break. I'll listen to some of it, I'm sure. But I wouldn't be surprised if I don't listen to any of it, because you need to give your mind a rest. Maybe let's start with Jen. How are you feeling after this week of these hearings, and how are you going to take care of yourself as we go forward into the final 5, 6, 7 weeks of this of this public hearing?
Trading the numbers. I've been pacing it. It sort of reminds me of when I recognize that I've maybe started a television series that is really dark and heavy, and being aware of not binging that particular type because it weighs on you psychologically. And I was getting the same sort of feelings where, you know, if I heard enough panelists that were making me anxious, you know, about their concerns or something that I'm not agreeing with, I would, you know, take a break and interestingly enough, use the Discord to get a sense of if it was a good time to jump back in. I would watch for if somebody that was a little better for my mind, maybe somebody I was more agreeable with, was on, and go in and enjoy that. And again, if it seemed to be healthy for my mind at the time, step out again and not worry about the FOMO of it, because it's really easy to go, oh, I might miss a really good moment. But knowing that it's being recorded and there's folks like yourself, Alex, that are going to be, you know, featuring highlights of some really good talks, it's okay to take the break. And I really appreciate all of the time you've spent live in there, because, yeah, aside from your nap today, there isn't a break, right? So I'm glad that you were able to do that.
Yeah. I'm glad you're pacing yourself, and I'm definitely tomorrow going to ask people to let me know what are the highlights. One thing that's helped me, I'll mention here quick, is I'm only clipping out the positive ones. I don't want to shame people on social media. I don't want to make people feel bad about showing up to a public hearing just because I have a different opinion than them. I think it's really important that anybody feels comfortable showing up to a public hearing and saying what they feel they need to say. So I've been going through, and as I'm clipping things, I'm only clipping the positive ones, the ones that I feel good about. Not that I'm saying you should never listen to an alternate opinion than what you have yourself. But when I'm going back through and I'm listening to the ones that I'm like, I appreciated that so much, that helps me. Biz, I want to hear from you. How are you doing, and how are you going to keep yourself doing hopefully okay through the next, few days?
Yeah, this is definitely, I think the word everybody uses is marathon. I think we're really witnessing something very strange and abnormal and very special in a lot of ways, in Calgary politics and perhaps Canadian politics. I really want, once this is all over, I want somebody to crunch the numbers and find if there's any example in any municipal politics in the entire world of a public hearing going this long. Cause I find like the 10, 12, 14 days, I feel like that's just not something that would happen in modern politics. And so I think it's really fantastic that there is such a energy behind this, even if it doesn't, materialize in a very positive way a lot of the time, and it's very angry, and I think it's very important to learn how to take a step back from that. I think the More Neighbors Discord is a really fantastic way to get sort of connected with like as Jen was saying, just understand when there's a highlight on, and maybe you don't have to really have it on and have it kind of take up your whole energy, but you can still be part of that community that's sort of talking about what we're hearing and some of the solutions and really being collaborative and feeling like you're part of something more positive. And sometimes people get a little bit antsy and the mods have to come through and be like, hey, let's keep this together. But I think it's definitely very, very great. And it's even better in person. There's, you know, as Alex has been down at City Hall most of the week. And so, if you're ever down in downtown, you can just send a message to the Discord and be like, where's everybody at? And usually you can go and shake some hands and give some high fives and stuff. And it's really nice to just have that in-person interaction. I think that's a very important thing that we don't get to have in Calgary very often because of, you know, the way our built environment is designed, but we can all get out and try. I think it's definitely a way that public hearings are just incentivizes this very reactionary, reactive, defensive sort of stance in just about anybody. I think it can become like this very monotonous, angry, like drone. I kind of said this in my speech yesterday. I don't even remember anymore, where I just said like, we need to start inviting citizens into City Hall and town halls to do more than just complain. Cause I think if it's, inherently we're just bringing people up one by one, there's no conversation. And that's one of the more frustrating things when you're listening to somebody with a differing perspective, is it's not even necessarily that like you don't want to hear it because you're trying to shut it out, but it's just you're not able to engage them in a conversation or really get to the bottom of it. And it, so it just feels very triggering to kind of put yourself through that without having it be something that you can really create something positive out of. And so I think definitely, I think as we move out of this rezoning, regardless of the outcome. I think we should definitely try to look for more ways to just actually get together in person and try to spread a more positive message around community change and the like.
I absolutely agree with you. Catherine, what about you?
It can be really difficult. It has been a hard week. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm just utterly exhausted right now. But I did see someone post on a website formerly known as Twitter that listening to these land use hearings have been hard, more so when council gives more credence to simple supply and demand analysis over actual credible expertise. And that's how I feel sometimes. You know, you get people who stand up and they have evidence-based presentations, you know, particularly the groups from the social services organizations, like their remarks have been so profound and so thoughtful. And then, you know, it's almost like there are two separate public hearings happening on completely different issues. And one is on like, what is the future of our city and how are we going to house people? And the other is like, well, I don't want a row house next to my single detached home. And I'm like, it's actually the same conversation, and we need to try to get on the same page. And it just seems like there's this chasm, and I don't know how we're ever going to bridge that. But, you know, I've been at this for a few years now, and it gets easier to handle the longer you watch these public hearings, which doesn't sound terribly optimistic, I suppose, but we just keep on going. And, you know, I have no idea how this is going to play out. This may get rejected, and if it does, then we just carry on and look forward to the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's huge. And I think we have, regardless of how it plays out, we have a lot of optimism coming out of this because so many people have come out to a public hearing for their very first time. And, you know, they're 16, 18, one kid was 11. 20, you know, we've got so many new people ready to engage. And like Clyde, I mentioned earlier, like he just figured it out. He just went and did it. Whereas for me, this was my first public hearing, but I'm like a long time viewer, first time speaker kind of situation. And it took a lot to get up there. So I'm optimistic about the future, regardless of how this pans out. We're having conversations, and we're also having conversations. Even the people who are against this are having conversations about housing and about its importance and about things that we can do to help fix this crisis we're in. Before we wrap up, I'll just ask quickly, any final thoughts from any of you? We'll start back again with Catherine.
Oh, just that I think it's funny that you asked me about 3 days? What did we think this was going to be? 3 days of podcast, yeah. And now we're up to what, like 26, 38?
Oh, yeah.
So
it's going to keep going.
Yeah. I'll give you my available dates for the next 6 months or so in case.
Yeah. I'm making a long list of potential panelists. Yeah. Yeah. It might never end. So we'll see how it goes. Jen, final thoughts?
Good, car bad. I think that's our podcast.
Yeah, that's Radio Free Urbanism. I like the way you think.
Final thoughts.
It is also a great podcast.
Right?
Especially that Alex Excellent. Williams guy over there.
He's final good. Thoughts is, yeah. This being my first time really observing something like this, and you know, today going and singing in person, pretty incredible experience. And thank you to More Neighbors for, you know, kind of pulling people together and bringing this experience to a lot of other folks. I'm not alone in this being a first time experience, and having folks like yourselves be able to sort of handhold and explain and walk through. It's been really wonderful with all the ebbs and flows of the speakers. It feels like I'm being walked through it in a lovely way. So thank you all.
That's awesome. Thanks. And Hazen, Biz.
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth saying that no matter what the outcome of this public hearing is, I think that we now see, even just from a few years ago, that discussions about land use and community change and the built form and yada yada in Calgary have permanently changed. And we are now an organized force that that is growing every single day for plenty of reasons. And I think it's important that we just stick to what brought us together, and going forward, I know the next few days I think is going to be lots of panels that are just opposed, just because of how the cards fell on when people signed up and how they had to organize things for the panels. And so I think it's a really great time to just kind of see what isn't quite clicking with the counselors. And I think that's what More Neighbors is focused on right now, is seeing what are sort of the things that haven't really come into this conversation or aren't really clicking fully that we can bring to the table for when the panels start being a little bit more wishy-washy with the people who signed up later. And so I think top of my list is, I think we really need to get the understanding of base zone out there. Like, people need to understand that this is a floor and that it's an incremental one, and that the wider we spread it across the entire city, the less negative impact it will have, and we'll be able to maximize the positive impact everywhere of incrementalism. I think somebody needs to come with like a serious, like full on like economics like thing where they're just like, look, like here's the supply demand, and then here's all the other stuff behind supply and demand that actually matters a whole lot more when you look at the system of it, and just the filtering, and also an easier, one thing I haven't heard almost anybody say, it's very rare that somebody brings this one up, but we talk about market affordability, but having an easier zoning process actually, I would argue, has like an outsized benefit to non-market or non-profit developers than it does market, because they already know how to do this stuff and they already have the capital to back it up. But if you're just getting into this for the first time, or you don't have very, very easy forms of lending, then I think having a very predictable process is fantastic for being able to create the sort of nonprofit and non-market housing that we need, and just bringing back this sort of like this very positive, like reframing this chicken and egg thing, where it's just like, I know it's going to be difficult, but we have to make difficult decisions as a city to be able to grow and make opportunities for people. Just like take challenges and turn them into opportunities.
Yeah, I really appreciate that perspective. And thank you all for joining me, Catherine, Biz, and Jen. This has been fantastic. I'm taking tomorrow off, but I'll upload one video. Catherine's off tomorrow as well. Hopefully you guys get some time off too. And we'll be back on Monday with another one of these recaps.